This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's the convention for people who forget
over there,
things?
In the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I am Chuck.
And I am Craig.
Welcome to the future. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. That's what it says on the sign behind me, anyway. Oh, the sign. Actually, no, the other sign. That one says road closed.
The one says Technorama behind me.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Like I said, I'm Chuck Tomasi, and the voice on the other side of this conversation is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm a little disappointed, Chuck.
In what?
Well, you know, we set our clocks back 1 hour last weekend.
That's why my sense of timing is off tonight.
Well, you know, we set it back, and I didn't, you know, so essentially we were time traveling, and I didn't see myself.
You're not supposed to. It makes the universe implode or something.
Sure.
Actually, for you, it'd be more like a pimple on the universe.
Oh, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate
it. Zit in the time-space continuum.
OxyClean will fix it. Wait a minute, OxyClean... We'll clean that
before
right off.
Before we get too much more into this silliness, we want to recommend that you try go to Assist Express. You know, being in IT for so long, it's a blessing and a more blessing.
Hey, because well, people come to and you from and listening say, us banter earlier, you can tell that we're very credible.
We people come to us for answers, believe it or not, and yeah. You know, sometimes it's really hard to figure out what people's problems are when you can't see what's on their screen or tell what software they've loaded or not. So go to Assist Express is simple to use. You'll be up and running in just a few minutes. You go to the website, you download a little client, and then no matter if you're talking to a Mac or a Windows machine, you can see what's on theirs. And I found out you can host multiple sessions concurrently, too, which is just
what?
Awesome. Yeah,
no,
I can
that's
be helping
good news.
You,
that's awesome.
And I could be helping Steve Holden, and I could be helping Steve Rickyberg, all at the same time. I'm not sure if my brain could handle all that multitasking, but it could be done with Assist Express.
Like in the Batcave, you got like three monitors going on, and you're helping people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Remote diagnostics, one-touch information about all the stuff that's on the remote computer, chat, file transfers, it's got it all. It's a great package. We've used it, we recommend it, and we want you to try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days, and you start out doing that at GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast to try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, and then you'll be emailing us and letting us know that it worked really well for you and how awesome we were.
Let's get to some more good stuff.
Okay.
Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got tiny stormtroopers.
Tiny.
We've got Klingon propaganda.
Propaganda?
And we've got my favorite, drunk Ewoks.
But they weren't obnoxious enough.
Stick around.
There are so many podcasts out there. Some are good and some are...
disgusting.
Oh, they're not that bad.
Oh, no.
Take the one called Dancing with Elephants, for example. It's family safe.
I told you.
Join Greg, Tanya, Nikolai, and Caleb.
Wow.
Find them at dancingwithelephants.com and join the fun.
Okay, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Fred Packer, formerly Division Chief of the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right, the chat room is chatting. Let's give them some love.
They're chatty, all right.
Looking at the chat room, I have to figure out what the theme is this week. We've got, obviously, you and me.
Yeah.
AD got a rock.
I see where this is going already.
Medical conditions? Ben bellyache?
No.
Oh,
Halloween,
it's the post-Halloween
man.
Stuff. Yes, it is. Claudio yeah. M. Deb drop and pumpkinated one.
Hey, I can see the pumpkin with the little beard, you know, like this avatar.
The dark glasses, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Geek Cred, Mad Marv, Mighty Joe, Nightstar, No Candy Corn Craig.
No Candy Corn.
The Aww. Giant and Too Much Candy Tim.
Awesome.
And can we make one up for Zaha Doom?
Sure, you got an idea? Zero Bar Zaha Doom.
The Zero Bar.
It's the only candy I could think of that had a Z in it.
I was thinking like Zaha Puke.
No. So how did you? What did you do last Halloween, this last one?
I got home a little late because, as I mentioned in the other show, we were practicing our karate demo. And when I got home, I think we had one customer who had already come. Donna always overbuys the candy, which I think is on purpose, so that we have candy around here for a month later.
Woohoo.
And then they said, oh, we're going to take off, and Julie's got to go to a party or something or other. So all of a sudden, I found myself here watching a Vincent Price movie on the DVD player and handing out candy to maybe a dozen more kids. It really
That's
was
it?
Slow. Yeah, I mean, the Vincent Price movie was The Last Man on Earth. And it's brilliant. It's the movie that supposedly inspired, what's his name, Romero, to do Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah.
But it starts out with that wonderful 50s font, you know, Last Man on Earth, that kind of like
<Da-da-dun>.
broken up chalk. Fun.
Yeah.
It's like, it was so stereotypical. But yeah, Vincent Price, he even makes coffee and orange juice sound scary.
Yeah, he did.
there's nobody around. I have to get myself some coffee and orange juice. Whoa.
Well, that's too much for me, man. We actually went trick-or-treating out in the rain.
Aww.
You know, what happened was I knew it was supposed to rain. And so we went out to eat with some friends before we went out trick-or-treating. So we went in the restaurant and we came out. It was just, you know, it was wide open. So we waited a few minutes and it kind of lightened up. And it lightened up enough where we could get around, and it rained a little bit. But that was all right. Harrison still got 300 pounds of candy. So, yeah. But it was fun.
Glad you had fun. It was a little cool here, but the kids survived.
I got to wear my glow-in-the-dark zombie shirt. I'm all good.
Some of the little kids are just darn cute, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw a little princess and a little cowgirl. Yeah, they're cute.
Yeah, there was a little Dalmatian and, yeah, lots of princess. There was one that was a dragon. I thought that was cool. Should have taken a picture and sent them to Dragon Con.
Oh, I got some pictures. As a matter of fact, one of my pictures I put up on Flickr, I'll go through this real quick. I was walking down, and I had my camera inside my little raincoat in case it started to rain, you know. So as we're walking, a car is coming toward us, but there's also trick-or-treaters in front of them, and they're all silhouetted. I was like, oh, my God, it looks like a zombie scene. I was hurting myself trying to get the camera up so I could take a picture. and then I shot one. I went, oh, I wanted to flash off. So I had to hurry up, and I got it. And it looked like they were, you know, backlit, and they were all zombies and stuff. It was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Looking at the Technorama birthday calendar, November 4th is Avner from Tel Aviv. On the 4th, on the 5th, we've got Michael Corlett from New Zealand. Wow, we've got a New Zealand listener.
Why don't you do your little accent there, Chuck?
My Kiwi accent is worse than my Aussie accent, so the answer to that is much. No.
That's about par for the course.
November 6th, Kevin Eliason. November 8th is Mark the Encaffeinated One. Woo! No,
the Impumpkinated One.
The Impumpkinated One. Also, November 8th is On the Drift. That's an interesting name. November 12th, John Noble from The Island. Wasn't that a reality show? Or was he booted off the island? He's still on the island, so he... I want to know what
they wrapped
island,
production
John?
And left him there by accident.
If we didn't call your name and it happens to be your birthday this week, happy birthday to you. And if you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, visit chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to see your name there. It just amazes me how many people have done that.
You need to break out the happy birthday or the birthday song we had a while back.
I got to find that. I don't know where it went in the double transition and the downtime. So I will maybe find that.
Maybe send your Gmail somewhere.
Oh, I know it's got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. News.
Oh, great news, everyone.
Thanks, Professor Farnsworth.
Wake him up?
That sounded like it.
What? Great news.
In the news, you've probably already heard this, the Ares 1X has launched. Well, the test launch went successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got awesome pictures from Boston.com.
Yeah, Boston.com, they always come up with some... I don't know who is doing all the photography, but they come up with the big picture spread. They do this all the time with all different themes, and the Ares rocket. There's some awesome pictures, especially of the tests when they're doing. You know, they're shooting off the rocket and it's stationary onto the ground.
Oh, and it's just like blowing the whole mountainside away.
Yeah,
yeah. They do that with the shuttle SRBs, and mm-hmm. I believe they did that with the engines for the SR-71 also.
Hey,
I
wonder if since they're attached to the Earth, if they make any change to our rotation.
It said there's like 13 bazillion horsepower in that thing, so or 13 bazillion pounds of thrust or something. I was thinking that too. How do you actually anchor that thing so that it doesn't move the wrong way?
Well, that was my next question, is how they get that stationary where it doesn't like... move while they're testing.
Yeah, it's not just like a block of cement and hose clamps.
Mm-hmm.
That's bizarre.
Hose clamps. Some we got picked them up at Lowe's, and they're little orange clamps, you know.
Isn't that what you picture that thing being held on? Yeah. Zip ties or something?
Zip ties. It's secure, I promise.
All right, but this is actually... go ahead.
I was going to say, the one picture I really like is the... Actually, one of the... The better ones was the Sonic Boom, where you can see the circular cloud around it. And the other one I liked was they're actually having the assembled unit in the assembly building, and you can see it all standing straight up. It's pretty cool.
You had to actually scroll, and the scrolling effect in the web browser, it kind of gave you the illusion. It was sort of like a poor man's Ken Burns effect.
It's a vertical panorama. It's pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on to the hacks and strange stories. I think we...
Oh, wait a minute. I just wanted to mention, I'll put another link in here. It's actually to video of the launch.
It said high-res video, but I didn't see any high-res. It was...
I don't know about high-res, but it's there nonetheless.
Weeny video.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though.
Yep, showed you the whole, like, two-minute sequence of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
From launch to when it sort of disengaged the engine and whatnot. All right. Hacks and strange stories. This is actually from the Wall Street Journal we're starting to get material from.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
How high-class paper could actually have something we use is amazing.
Yeah.
This is titled, One Man's Garage. In One Man's Garage, Pan Am still makes the going great. Flyers nostalgic for the golden era of air travel might want to book a trip to Anthony Toth's garage. Mr. Toth has built a precise replica of the first-class cabin from the Pan Am World Airways 747 in the garage of his two-bedroom condo in Redondo Beach, California. The setup includes almost everything flyers in the late 70s and early 80s would have found on board. Pairs of red and blue reclining seats, original overhead luggage bins, and a curved red carpeted staircase. He goes to like the boneyard where they have all the old retired planes and things, and they sell them for parts. This guy works for United.
He always said on the Mythbusters or something like that too.
Donna spotted this in the Wall Street Journal, and the conversation at our dinner table went very much like a Technorama conversation. I said, what does this guy do for a living? And she says, works for United. Yeah. So when he hears about a part that he needs, he can fly for free. He just hops a plane and goes and gets it.
Hmm.
But he spent like $50,000 in his garage. This tops the guy who built the Star Trek Enterprise bridge in his living room, in my opinion.
You know, I don't know.
Now, wait a minute. He's been passionate. I said, is this guy married? And she goes, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. Nope, not married yet.
Well, you're married. Look at the things you do.
Yeah, but I don't spend 50 grand on a replica of an airplane.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
The seat covers had to be manufactured, and they said true aficionados would recognize that the wall panels are actually from a DC-10.
Oh, my God.
Airline buffs will notice that the walls are actually from a DC-10 aircraft, not a 747, though he hopes to change that soon. So their original opening line that says everything from the 747 isn't quite accurate.
Well, now, it's close like, enough.
Since his 20s, Mr. Toth has worked for United in a variety of positions and places, including Chicago, Raleigh, North Carolina, and San Francisco. He created earlier versions of his airline cabin in the living rooms of various apartments and houses he rented when he was in his 20s and 30s. 2 years ago, Mr. Toth, who is single, purchased his first home. He says he looked at nearly 50 apartments before finding one with a slightly oversized garage that would have enough space for his cabin configuration. Oh boy, that was his primary driver for finding a new house. Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
You know the three words I think of when I read that? Get a life. But hey, he made it in the Wall Street Journal and we didn't. So what can you say?
Well, keep in mind, you know, if you have to ask why, you don't understand it.
But we do understand Google Wave. Well, we thought we did until we saw what these people do.
I don't know. I think it's actually a pretty cool little use of it. But Google Youve. What was that?
Google Youve? Google, that's a new one. They're coming out
Google,
with that next
Google
week.
Google Youve, that's a new project. Now, Google Wave, it looks like some people have found a way to actually use it to play D&D. How about that?
Go West. You are looking over a meadow.
I want to roll to see if I take a nap.
Are there any girls here?
Where's the Mountain Dew?
I'm anyway, casting a spell. I can imagine how that wave is going to go.
Yeah.
Well, magic missile.
Well, at Ars Technica, they lay out how you can use a wave to actually play D&D. And some of the actual pitfalls and some of the things you can't really rely on gamers to do, like, I guess, doing a lot of the dungeon master type stuff.
You'd really need a 20-sided die random number generator to get started.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you can, you know, it does provide a facility to add bots. So you could actually write a bot to do a lot of this stuff, I'm sure, but it doesn't exist at the moment. But I don't see why not. But it looks cool. I'd be willing to try it when I have some time.
And in the cool category, we also have a working Ghostbusters PKE meter prop.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this guy, he says this is the final touch on his Ghostbusters costume that he's been working on for a couple of years. I'm hoping he drags this thing to Dragon Con and we can hook up with him next year.
Well, you know what's sad? I could have used something like this last weekend. Late.
For Halloween?
Yeah.
Were you a Ghostbuster? Or you just wanted to walk around with a flashy light thing?
Yes. I want to walk around with a flashy light thing.
I can hear it. You're playing it, aren't you?
Yeah, actually looking at it. Sorry.
And then he's got like two buttons. One that makes the little wings come out and one that makes the little wings go in. And the further out they go, the more they flash. So he's got it pretty darn accurate. I haven't seen the movie in a long, long time, so I'll trust
him. I got no response, but, you know, I read Just a Geek from Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he went through the process of making
Oh, he dressed up like in fifth grade. He made his own Ghostbuster outfit.
I know. So I tweeted, I said, dude, this is for you. And I
and you hope he follows you.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I mentioned him, so he's going to, he would see it. But anyway.
You hope.
I thought it was cool. Pretty cool.
Flickr. I think you've got this Flickr. Two places in the showroom.
Hey, flick you.
Stefan's photo stream. You want? Is this the Star Wars one? The life of
yes.
The trooper one? Well, you've got this in two places. You got it in the media corner and in the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Sorry, got excited.
Very, very funny. He's doing like a picture a day from what I can tell.
Yeah, he's doing a picture a day, and he had the little Star Wars or the Stormtrooper action figures, and it's like they took a day off and they're goofing around doing stuff. And
have you seen all these? I went through every one of these pictures. Julie and I were laughing our butts off at some of these things.
Yeah, the one that looks like the Nirvana Nevermind album cover.
That's what that's from.
Good Lord, Chuck. You need to get out more.
I'm not a Nirvana fan.
Well, the American Idol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got a series called These Are Not the Droids You're Looking For, right?
Yeah.
And there's a Pez dispenser with C-3PO's head on it, and it says, this is the droid we're looking for. Or they open up a photo album with R2-D2 in it, and it says, that's the droid we're looking for.
I like the one here.
American Idol, they get these two droids on the stage, like the trash compactor one and one of the battle droids. And it says, I'm sorry,
That's IG-88, by the way.
Yeah, he's one of those, the destroyer ones?
He's a bounty hunter, dude.
The bounty hunter robot?
Yeah, he's a bounty hunter, IG-88.
I swear I saw him on the Clone Wars, and they're just, like, nasty.
They were.
Okay.
Yeah, did have him in Clone Wars, and yeah, they're tough. Yeah.
When R2 was stolen, and they were using that gold droid, and the gold one turned out to be shouldn't say anything. Spoiler alert.
Well, it was last season. I mean, if you hadn't seen it, you hadn't seen it. But okay. That was a good episode. But yeah,
the caption says, I'm sorry, you're not the droids we're looking for.
You're not.
I got to tell you, though, as funny as these things are, the lighting is awesome. The composition on these things is terrific. This guy knows his photography. This isn't just like pick up your point and shoot camera and aim it at your toys. He's thinking these things through.
And I like the one where it says, build a droid you're not looking for, and it's they're building Wally.
Wally. Yeah, and one of the stormtroopers is holding up his eyes like he's looking through a GAF Viewmaster or something. Yeah. Like the poses on these things are awesome. You can totally relate. How to mess with a bounty hunter, and he's got like Boba Fett's helmet on his head. Run!
This is pretty good.
They're playing. Oh, and every once in a while, you'll come across a message to Luke Skywalker. They sent him one in Gmail. It's like LukeSkywalker@RebelAlliance.org. Subject. What was this? I can't remember what the subject was, but the body of the message just says, Rebel scum. They had one where they're standing around in front of the Wheel of Fortune answer board. It says, message to Luke Skywalker, Rebel scum. But, you know, half the letters are missing, but you can still tell what it is. Anyway, great stuff. You got to go look. It's a time waster, fun.
I got to say this one more. There's one more where they're both looking at the Google screen. The droids were looking for.
Oh, yes. They put in the search box.
Why didn't they just use the fours? You know, I'm feeling lucky. Hit the film. I'm feeling like a lucky button. Oh, well.
Over at Make Magazine, the post-apocalyptic pumpkin stuff is great. They have pumpkin abuse in the name of science. They've taken the periodic table videos, periodic videos.
Yeah, I must have got excited about this, too, because I think I put it in here twice as well. But it's just the periodic table of videos. So scientists, they explain different theories, you know, how to enrich uranium and all that kind of stuff. Well, this video, they like three scientists do three different things to the pumpkin. One, he froze it and smashed it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that one dude's hair too.
Yeah. And then he did thermite.
One does thermite, yeah, to like burn the heck out of his pumpkin. And another girl takes this gelatinous goo stuff, pours it in there, and kind of makes this nice roaring alcohol fire inside the pumpkin, and then dumps in a little powder, and the flame turns green, dumps in a little more, turns red. I thought that would be an awesome way to light up your pumpkin at night.
Yeah.
Because I think it looked like it was just burning forever.
And it looked cool when it had the green stuff coming out of the lips, the mouth of the
out of the
pumpkin.
Mouth, because the ooze was coming out. You got to watch the video. It's a great way. Probably not one of those things you want to try at home, though, unless you're a trained professional chemist.
Well, what was funny was we actually carved pumpkins last weekend, and I just kind of went for the simple. You know, I started to do the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy planet, you know, with his tongue hanging out. But I opted for an easy one. I just had one that's kind of laughing. And my wife did one, and Harrison did one, but he is still working on his technique. And half the face kind of fell out because he cut the things too close. It's almost like a big gaping hole in the front of it. But I started looking at it and going, why does this look familiar? And it actually looks like Rorschach from The Watchmen. I was like, oh. Hey, but it's like a big hole in the front of it.
Nice job.
Yeah. Nice job, Harrison.
All right. In the Remember When section, came across this in the Reader's Digest. Yes, I am pulling out stuff from Wall Street Journal and Reader's Digest and anywhere else I can find it.
We're turning to print media?
Hey, I was in the bathroom for a while, all right? Give me a break.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
Found this over at Flixie.com. It's actually on their top page, or on the front page, and one of the most popular things. It's called President's Morphing. They take every president from Washington through Barack Obama, and they use one of those facial morphing things, and they morph from one president to the next. The music in the background is Ravel's Bolero, so it was kind of interesting watching this.
Yeah, I watched it. It was pretty cool.
It was like 4 minutes to go through all of these things.
I know.
And it wasn't until you got to like Nixon where they actually had a photograph, and then they get to Ford, and it's a painting again. And then they go to photographs after that.
I guess it's the president's prerogative, however they want to do it.
Yeah, I would like an oil painting of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it really gives you a good look at some of the presidents are old. Some of the presidents are fairly young. Some of the presidents are fairly thin. Some of the presidents are fairly large. I mean, I hadn't realized what a diversity, and you try and remember every one of these men was the president of the nation at one time or another. And just to kind of just look at the pictures and see the face changing part is cool, but I was captivated by the paintings.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with the Media Corner.
Yeah, Media Corner.
All right. I think music? Yeah. We're on cue here. All right, when we come back, we've got one of our own doing stand-up, and we'll talk about that Klingon propaganda in just a sec.
This is Richard Garriott.
Lord British.
Private Space Explorer. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner. Welcome to the Media Corner, dude.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
What can I help you with? Hey, let's step out
to my van, man.
We got that Lord Cat dude. He's he's one of our regular listeners, and he's got a video. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Actually, he's got a lot of videos. He does reviews of video games and stuff on his site. Well, he sent me this link in Twitter. All it was is a link. There was no exclamation. Exclamation. There was an exclamation. So anyway, I watched it and I was like, is that him? And I kind of looked around and sure enough, I figured out it was him, in fact. And it was kind of cool to watch him doing the stand-up. Now, it is not necessarily family-friendly, so
no.
Keep it to yourself.
Not safe for work, not safe for family. So, yeah, keep it to yourself. It's pretty funny. He's got some geek humor in there.
Yeah. In fact, I'm not sure it's safe for anybody. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
But if you do want to watch some safe video, head on over to YouTube and look for the Klingon propaganda. This is sweeping the nation, sweeping the sector. Sweeping.
Yeah, that's the sector. It's actually pretty cool.
He was inspired by a lot of, and there's an interview in here coming up too. He's inspired by the like the Russian and Chinese propaganda posters and films and things from the 30s, 40s, 50s. But he did it with Klingons. He actually translated all the text. It's awesome.
Yes, it is. The animation actually style is perfect for this kind of thing. He's nailed it.
And then there's a follow-up video a few days later where you see this little girl and she's watching it on this big screen TV and she's singing along with it and la 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 la. This little 3-year-old, 4-year-old girl is like, oh man, she's brainwashed. She's gonna be in the Klingon Empire soon.
What's funny is it turns to her dad and he goes, "It's working."
Yeah. It's working. It's like this whole program to take over the universe. Oh, really, if you read into the, we'll have links in the show notes again, but there's an interview with him. And the reason he did this was sort of a proof of concept to see if there's any interest in bringing back like a Star Wars original or Star Trek original series, animated series. And he's gotten some really good response on just this little pilot test, and he's got ideas of what to do to bring an animated series. Now, they've actually got this listed on trekmovie.com, which just blows me away. This guy's sort of doing this. He's the same guy who did the a lot of the viral videos in the past, but he didn't give his name out as credit to this time around.
Well, at least at the beginning, they released the video with his name, Bad Monkey.
Yes.
Studios attached to it, so.
That's what it is. It's there's an exclusive report as of yesterday, as we record this, on trekmovie.com. Last weekend, we reported on an interesting new animation on YouTube called Klingon Propaganda, which led to a Klingon website. There have been subsequent videos this week adding to the mystery, which has been the subject to much speculation on the site and many others. Now the man behind the video has come forward and explained to Trek Movie what it is all about. It should come as no surprise that the Klingon propaganda video and site looked like a viral campaign because the man behind the behind it actually makes viral campaign animations for a living. As we worked out in our original report, excuse me, my throat's beginning to get sore. The video was made by Mark Farinas, who also operates the Bad Monkey Studios in San Francisco. Bad Monkey has made viral campaigns in the past, but Farinas tells Trek Movie this was done on his own as a labor of love, with the hopes that it could be a proof of concept and to show interest in a new animated Star Trek series. For full details on how Farinas did this, see the Q&A further down in this. Very good stuff, and they provide a translated version of the video with subtitles and things.
I could totally see. I would watch an animated Star Trek show. There is one, a fan based one, and the name escapes me at the moment. I'll try and put it in the show notes. But there is a fan based one. They got one episode out, and it's very much like the one, you know, the animated series that we got a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at this guy and he's got one of those old, what do you call those kind of hats? The ones that are sort of flat in the front?
Yeah, it's not a beret, but you know, it's kind of like a hat with it comes in the front.
He's got an unshaven look. He kind of looks like he just walked off a bread line from the 30s. So, yeah.
I think he looks like anybody that lives in San Francisco.
Are you comparing him to Scott Sigler?
Well, Scott, he's got more hair than Scott.
Ooh, glad he's not listening.
Hey, I'm just calling like I see him, man.
And then there's some posters down below that also show his you know, inspiration, and you can see scenes in his little video that are very, very close to these posters.
So that's right.
He did an awesome job. Lots of comments. Oh my gosh, there's about 20 more comments than were there a few hours ago. So people are still commenting on this stuff. Wonderful stuff.
So,
I hope he gets this off the ground. I really look forward to seeing this.
Yeah, it would be cool. Now jumping genres, or actually not genres, but franchises. the Star Wars in Concert. I don't know if you've heard about this, Chuck, but it's actually coming here in town in Charlotte, November 11th.
Yes,
I'm going to try and catch it.
I was reading this earlier about the guy who took his sons to the concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're taking the concert. What it is they got a full car orchestra, and they show scenes from the movie as they're playing the music to go along with it, which is much like we, our family, went to the Bugs on Broadway, where they showed the Warner Brothers cartoons, and they had the full orchestra below playing in sync with the audio or with the video. And
now, there are some cartoons from Bugs Bunny, I mean, that lend themselves really well to that. Hungarian Rhapsody number 2, you know, by Franz Liszt. Just lots
of... Barbara Seville.
Yeah, just tons of them. They were great for using musical clips like that. So that would be fun.
Yeah, and you know, Chuck Jones was really pushing for that because he really liked the music, and he was trying to marry the music and the audio and the cartoon style together.
And so many people can relate. They hear The Barber of Seville and they think of Bugs Bunny, but you know, it wouldn't be as ingrained in a lot of people. They wouldn't be exposed to that music if it weren't for that avenue.
Yeah, because all you have to do is think of Kill the Rabbit.
No, that's Wagner. You're getting your things mixed up. That's Wagner. Rossini was Bunny of Seville.
Huh, whatever.
How do? Hey. Welcome to my shop. Let me trim your crop.
I'm sorry. I mentioned Barbara of Seville earlier. That's what I was saying.
So you're going to go to this? When is it coming?
I want to go. I don't know if I can, but it's on November 11th in the Charlotte area.
November 11th? That's like a week from now.
I know. I'm saying I don't know if I can.
Tells me if you don't have tickets, you don't have tickets.
Probably not. Kim and Harrison tried, but I don't think it really worked out in our favor. But, you know, whatever. I'd love to see it. But so if you got tickets and you're in the Charlotte area and you want to donate them.
Yeah. We'll mention you in the show.
Please. Yes, I will. I'll do a whole show just for you.
All right, and speaking of shows, things you don't want on your show, animals, computers, and children, because none of them behave the way you want them to. And yeah, now we're adding to the list drunk Ewoks. The Today Show, which is on NBC, they were doing a Halloween special, and the lady from Better Homes and Garden was showing how you could do these cool things with decorative pumpkins and painted branches, and they've got these two Ewoks running around. And
they kind of stole the whole segment.
They were being a little mischievous, like throwing candy at one point, and then one kind of picks up a martini and starts drinking it. And then this is another not quite safe for work, because one of the Ewoks, he starts moonwalking, and he's actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, that was kind of funny to see.
Then he just starts messing with the hosts of the show. And yeah, they did steal the scene. Very funny. I don't know if they were actually drunk, but you kind of get the idea that something was going on. And how these guys were not laughing their butts off in their Ewok costumes, I don't know.
Oh, they probably were. That was the point. But yes, it was... Yeah, it was a little disturbing. There was one scene where,
Yeah. And right at the end? Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave that alone. The little brown one, and he starts getting friendly.
As in a... Yeah, well, you go figure it out.
So, leave the drunk Ewoks off your party list next year, or offer to drive them home and leave them home. Put them on the speeder bike, set it to straight ahead, and maybe it'll hit one of the big trees in the forest.
Yeah, poor Al Roker. What's funny is Al Roker is dressed up
as Han Solo. He makes a terrible Han Solo. That was awful.
Which, yeah, but he's, well, he was sitting there laughing along with the Ewoks until that little incident at the end.
And he said, "End." That means it's the end of the show also.
Oh, is it the end?
Oh, yeah, it's the end already.
It's the end of the show as we know it.
Hey, don't. You'll have to pay a licensing fee.
Well, I changed the word, so now it's a, you know, it's a creative thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Artistic yeah. license. Like we have any artistic ability.
I have a little.
All right, if you've got any comments, corrections, or otherwise feedback to provide us, we'd love to hear from you. There are many ways to get in touch with us. There's the old-fashioned listener line at 206-222-2428. There's the old-fashioned email, technorama@chuckchat.com. There's the old-fashioned Twitter, see Tomasi's
the old-fashioned Twitter.
Hey, just tag your stuff with #tech101. We'll find you. We'd love to hear from you. Send us contributions. We're always happy to receive things via email, Twitter, whatever, that you find interesting. You know, you're reading through these things and people send you the weird stuff. That's for us. We want the weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, mostly weird. The really weird stuff you can just keep.
What else? Old-fashioned pencil and paper. We can write that. Everything's old-fashioned. It's all steampunk today anyway. You know, these kids and their brass.
Kiss my brass.
Ooh, hey, easy. Family friendly, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Keep the G rating.
I said brass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rah, rah, ree, kick him in the knee. Rah, rah, yeah. Rass, kick him in the other knee.
And on Twitter.
You can go to the website, find out ways you can contact us, promote us, all that good stuff. It's all there, chuckchat.com. Thanks to the following people for providing all their great
potpourri. I thought it smelled funny in here.
All their great time and talent to help keep Technorama going. Mad Marv, he's contributing stuff regularly to our blog. We love to hear from him. Farpoint Media. I mean, they're great too, but we're not up to that part yet. Freenode.net for the chat room. All the people who contributed stuff to our web blog or our show notes. Wow, this time zone change thing has me totally messed up this time.
You know what? Just go back to bed for another hour.
I think so. This is awful. And I still got to get up tomorrow. Ustream keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around, we'd love to see you 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. Now, click on the little icon that says end of show music. That's not what it really says, but it's just more theater of the mind thing. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. This part I can do because it's mostly written. You can also find us at farpointmedia.com along with a bunch of other great podcasts. Go there. Check out the site, the shows. It's all shiny and new and cool looking. They've been doing a lot of hard work over there. I think we've almost got all our graphics up to date.
I heard that.
Sorry, I've still got a sore throat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that. And the next time you hear from us, I'll be a black belt for real.
Yay.
Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101 to you.
Thanks and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Wow. I thought I knew what ridiculous was until this day.